sitting here in Washington, D.C., because the Speaker of the House has closed down the House early and has sent members home because they can't do their work. So I'm sitting here continuing to work, but I'm just again shocked at how unserious the Republicans are in the House of Representatives, knowing that we have a significant housing bill to pass, knowing that we have appropriations bills that are sitting in front of us, knowing that the Epstein files have not fully been released, knowing that families are hungry and children are being sent home from clinical trials because we're defunding research.
We've been following the War Powers resolution closely in our newsroom, seeing the House and then the Senate pass their versions, then some Republicans trying to take back their votes. I'm wondering if you can brief us on where the War Powers resolution stands and touch on the resolution related to Lebanon, as we do not see consensus among Democrats.
Right. The Lebanon resolution has, you know, it's we still have a ways to go. I'm hoping when we get back from recess, we as again, Republicans are coming on strong too. They know that we're wasting $1 billion a day on these forever wars. And so I'm hoping that there'll be some promise there. You have to realize the president of the United States is supposed to come to Congress every single time he wants to move forth on anything that has to do with us using our weapons of war. He has not done that. And we did pass a war powers resolution. But again, we have a president of the United States who doesn't read the law, much less respect the Congress when we're standing up united together. That's unfortunate as well.
It's been a mixed bag with the Supreme Court as we see this term come to a close with rulings regarding birthright citizenship and blows to TPS and asylum seekers. In our coverage, we noted that the Supreme Court rulings aren't necessarily always the law of the land, as Congress can act and pass laws. So, in regards to the rulings, is this something you and your colleagues have been discussing? What in particular are you looking at? And will this be a part of the strategy to pitch to voters to regain control of the House?
Not so much about your last question. I'm not sure what the strategy writ large is. This court has gone to the lowest of the lows. And this week they've gone after transgender children. We are going to remember this decision the way that we remember every ruling that body told a group of children what they could and could not do. We will hold them to account. I mean, secondly, there's a lot of clapping about the Supreme Court affirming birthright citizenship, but that has been so clearly laid out in the 14th Amendment. And yet some of us were clenching our teeth thinking there was going to be an opinion that contorted what was so clearly written in the 14th Amendment. Our answer has to be mobilizing. It has to be organizing. And I believe this next Congress and the people of these United States are sick and tired of these decisions reaching so deeply into literally our own bodies, our own homes, but everything, and I do feel this way, that has been happening on behalf of the Democratic caucus is us preparing for January. We're taking back the House and we're going to slow down this rage to hell that the administration and its court has put on our people.
There has been a rise of candidates who have been backed by the Democratic Socialists of America, winning recent elections against multi-term incumbents, described as establishment Democrats, which has raised concerns not only among Republicans, but fellow Democrats. What is your take, and how does this bode for the future of the Democratic Party?
You know what? I am not a Democratic Socialist. I want to just be very clear. It's an organization that I know of, but that doesn't have a lot of folks that look like me in that organization, right? Or not like, you know, there's not a lot of voices. What I do agree on, however, is a notion that the Americans want something that's not radical. I believe what the members of DSA, those who are winning, those who are running, what they're saying is actually not radical at all. It should be the floor. It's what was written in the 10-point plan in the Black Panther movement, that folks deserve food that won't kill them, deserve health care when they need it. They deserve housing. They deserve education, that we should not be a part of, endless wars that kill black and brown children while we're sending our poorest to go over and do that work. Those are not new traditions. And so, yes, DSA members are winning. And I'm so proud, and it's so amazing to see that these ideas, these populist ideas, are being looked at through a new lens because, again, I believe that they're the floor. Now, when we start saying that Black women getting maternal health that they deserve is radical, we have a problem. When we start thinking about the fact in Oakland, California, there's thousands of people who sleep on their streets, housing is not radical. Daycare, that's not $6,000 a month, that's not radical. So poor people have always known these ideas that no matter how hard you work in this country, you don't always get compensated for that level of work. Disabled people have always known no matter the disability, you have to fight for dignity and the right not to stay alive. I can go on and on, but I want to make clear that we do ourselves a disservice by thinking there's a new politic coming to the Democratic Party. We have always been here underneath a number of names and umbrellas and mantras, but the idea that liberty and justice and fairness for all, these are the most truest American values, and it's amazing to see young people and young people of color lift those values and win these races. Again, the power lies with the people.